We turn to read the Word of God. We're two readings this evening. The first one is from Exodus chapter 30. Exodus chapter 30. We'll be reading from verse 11 to verse 16. And then we'll be turning straight over to Matthew chapter 17. First reading is from Exodus chapter 30, beginning at verse 11. This is the living word of the living God. The Lord said to Moses, "When you take the census of the people of Israel, then each shall give a ransom for his life to the Lord when you number them, that there be no plague among them when you number them. Each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary." The shekel is 20 gerahs. "Half a shekel as an offering to the Lord. Everyone who is numbered in the census from 20 years old and upwards shall give the Lord's offering. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel when you give the Lord's offering to make atonement for your lives. You shall take the atonement money from the people of Israel and shall give it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may bring the people of Israel to remembrance before the Lord, so as to make atonement for your lives." Then we turn over to the New Testament, to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17, and we'll be reading from verse 24 to verse 27. Matthew chapter 17, reading from verse 24. "When they came to Capernaum, the collectors of the half shekel tax went up to Peter and said, 'Does your teacher not pay the tax?' He said, 'Yes.' And when he came into the house, Jesus spoke to him first, saying, 'What do you think, Simon? From whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?' And when he said, 'From others,' Jesus said to him, 'Then the sons are free.' However, not to give offense to them, go to the sea and cast a hook and take the first fish that comes up. And when you open its mouth, you will find a shekel. Take that and give it to them for me and for yourself." Amen. May God bless to us the reading of his word. If you'll turn back with me to the Word of God, if you turn firstly to Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 17, just to remind us what was read earlier, in the book of Matthew here we have this short account from verse 24 to verse 27, where Jesus and his disciples have come into Capernaum, and we're told that the collectors of the two drachma tax, or the half shekel tax, have come up to Peter and have said to Peter, "Does your teacher or does your master not pay the tax?" And Peter says, "Well, yes, he does pay taxes." When Peter came into the house where Jesus was and Jesus spoke, he said to Peter, "What do you think, Simon," or Simon Peter, "from whom do kings of the earth take toll or tax? From their sons or from others?" And Peter's answer was, "Well, they take tax from others." So Jesus replied, "Well, the sons are then free. But so as not to give offense, I want you to go fishing. I want you to go down to the coast, cast in a hook, draw out a fish, open its mouth, and there in the mouth you will find a shekel. And take that shekel and go and pay the tax for myself and for you." What does this passage in Matthew mean? How are we to apply it? Is Jesus telling us here that we don't have to pay taxes? Wouldn't that be great if that's what this passage was about? Unfortunately, that's not the case. Well, does it mean that if we need money, God will supply it to us in surprising places? That's what some people have used this passage to teach. But that's not what it's saying. Certainly God could do that, but we're not given that promise within Scripture. Well, perhaps it's just here to tell us how powerful and all-knowing Jesus is. And certainly he is those things, but again, that's not the primary teaching or the primary reason why we have this account before us. I want to propose to you this evening that to understand this New Testament passage, we actually have to go back in history. We have to go back to a dry, dusty wilderness, and we have to go back to instructions that were being given to Moses in building a special tent. And here at the tabernacle instructions, we have for us an understanding of what is happening in Matthew chapter 17. So if you turn with me to Exodus chapter 30, and this is the passage that we're going to be considering this evening. Exodus chapter 30, verses 11 to 16. And here God is telling Moses that when he takes a census, he's also to take a ransom price of half a shekel from each man who's numbered and recorded. And this money that's taken is then going to be used in the construction of the tabernacle. It's going to be used for the maintenance of the tabernacle. God's dwelling place is going to be built on the ransom price or a census tax that is being paid. God was telling Moses, if you're going to be counted in, if you're going to be numbered among my people, then a price has to be paid. And that's what I want us to learn this evening. If we are going to be counted in, if we are to be numbered amongst God's people, then a price has to be paid. This census tax has to be given. So let's look at Exodus chapter 30 this evening, verses 11 to 16. And then towards the end, we're going to be considering what lessons we can learn from Matthew chapter 17. But first of all, here in Exodus 30, the first thing that I want us to notice is very simply the paying of the census tax. The paying of the census tax. Moses is told to take a census in verse 12. This is the first census that we have recorded amongst God's people. We have a census every 10 years. And the purpose of the census is so that our government knows the number of people living within its bounds. And the taking of a census is a sign of authority. Those who command the census to be taken are saying, you belong to me. You are being numbered as one of ours. Every time we fill out a census form every 10 years, that's the government saying, you belong to us. And that's important for us to understand when we think about a census. A.W. Pink, who was a Christian writer and teacher in the first half of the 20th century, he wrote this. When God numbers or orders anything to be numbered, taking the sum of them denotes that they belong to him and that he has the sovereign right to do with them as he pleases. The action itself says of the thing numbered, these are mine and I assign them their place as I will. So here God is numbering Israel. And God has the right and the authority to number that which belongs to him. God is saying, you are being counted in. You're being numbered. You belong to me. But along with this numbering, Moses is also to take a half shekel tax. A shekel was a measurement. We shouldn't really think of it as a specific type of coin. It was a weight of normally of silver. Half a shekel is probably about 6 grams. 6 grams of silver today is about £2.30. So it's not an awful lot. It's not a huge weight. It's not a huge measurement. In Jesus' day, it was called 2 drachmas. That's the same value, the same weight and measurement. And we're told that this weight, this half shekel, was a ransom price that was paid. And it was to be paid by everyone who's numbered. The reason being so that no plague will come on the people. Now, we're not told if Moses took this census every year. Probably it wasn't taken every year. God simply says, when you take the census. What we do know is that by the time of Jesus, this census, this numbering, was taken every year. And these men that we were reading about earlier, these collectors of the 2 drachma tax, or the half shekel tax, they come up to Peter and they ask him, does your master, does your teacher, does he pay this tax? It is this census tax. For all who are being numbered, a price has to be paid. When God's people are numbered, when they're counted, there is to be a payment. Later on, Jesus is going to be telling people, Peter, that he will find 1 shekel in the mouth of a fish. And Peter is to use that for the 2 of them. Jesus, as we're going to see, will be paying the price for Peter to be counted in, to be numbered among God's people. So that was the way that the census tax was taken. But what does that have to do with us? So let's secondly consider the purpose of this ransom price, or the census tax. The purpose of the census tax. And it has a threefold purpose. Firstly, we are told it is here to escape the wrath of God. Look at verses 11 and 12 of Exodus 30. When the census is taken, each shall give a ransom for his life to the Lord, that there be no plague among them. The danger or the warning is that there could be a plague amongst the people of God. A plague was always a sign of God's displeasure, perhaps even more so. It was a sign of God's righteous anger. And for the Israelites, they understood what a plague was. Remember, they had been in Egypt. They had seen plagues come down upon their captors. They had experienced the wrath of God, or they saw it, on their enemies. God was angry with Egypt. God was angry with Pharaoh, and so God sent the plagues. It's a sign of God's anger at sin. That's the picture language that we have in the book of Revelation. Plagues are synonymous with God's anger at sin. We even have an example in the Bible where the ransom price, or the census tax, wasn't paid during a census. And that brought about a plague. During the reign of King David, David wanted to number his army, but no ransom price was paid, and so God sends a plague. You can read about that this week if you want in 2 Samuel chapter 24. But when God is numbering his people, God is saying to them, remember, sin is serious. Sin is no light matter. Sin isn't a small or a trivial thing. Sin is an offense before God. And so when God is exerting his true right and proper authority, he's saying to the people of Israel, a price has to be paid. I want you to remember, I am angry at sin. And so they have to pay a price so that no plague will come among them. Notice here also in verse 11 that each shall give a ransom. All are equally in danger before God. Or sorry, verse 12, each shall give a ransom. All need to escape God's wrath. Matthew Henry, in his commentary on the whole Bible, he puts it well in this part of Exodus. He says, our souls are in equal danger. Do you know that this evening? That your soul is in danger. We are all in equal danger before a holy, just God. Outside of God's grace and mercy that we'll be thinking about later, we're all headed to God's eternal punishment in hell. And so this ransom price, it's shouting out to us, sin is serious. Danger. Take warning. God is angry at sin. And if you're not a Christian this evening, doesn't matter if you're sitting in a church building, doesn't matter if your parents are Christians, it doesn't matter if you give money to the church, God is saying, if you're outside of Jesus Christ, then you must know your soul is in danger, eternal danger, because God is angry at sin. We need a price paid for us so that we can be numbered in, so that we can be counted in, because God is angry at sin. The second purpose for this census tax or ransom price is to show that we have equal worth before God. We have equal worth before God. Look at verse 13. Each one who is numbered in the census shall give this, half a shekel. Each one was to give the same value, the same worth of silver. No more, no less. It was a fixed amount, or a flat fee, we might say. The same for everyone. Look at verse 15. We'll come back to verse 14 in a moment. Verse 15. The rich shall not give more, and the poor shall not give less than the half shekel. Just as we are all in danger, just as there's universal sinfulness, just as we all deserve God's plague because of our sin, so we are told that the price to be set free is the same for everyone. It was the same for Moses, as it was for Aaron, as it was for the least of the Israelites. The same price being paid. For the tabernacle Jews, it was this half shekel. Now, the weight of silver wasn't very much. The reason why it was a small amount of silver was not because the price didn't matter. It's so that it was achievable for the poorest in society. Even the poorest could have that price cover them. They could have that amount given. The reason why the rich weren't to give any more was so that they couldn't boast and state that they had a greater inheritance or a greater portion of the tabernacle. The rich couldn't go around saying, look at us, look at what we've given. We're more deserving. We own more of this than you do. We have a greater access into God's presence because we've paid more. No. The same price has covered everyone, from the poorest in society to the richest. Every Jew who paid the price had equal worth before God. Verse 14, I said we'd come back to it. It tells us that those numbered in the census were to be males, 20 years old and over. That was the military numbering. And Numbers chapter 1 gives us the details of the census. And in verse 3 of Numbers chapter 1, we are told that every male, head by head, from 20 years old and upward, all in Israel who were able to go to war were counted in. Now, this isn't saying that only men could be ransomed. Remember, it was an amount for all, the rich and the poor. Think of it this way. If a man had a large family, he would have to pay more for every single member of the family if that's the way that God had ordered this. And so for a poor man, he wouldn't be able to pay the price for his children and his wife. It would just be too much. But God graciously says those being numbered are going to be men of working age, heads of families, those who are able to go to war, that's men who are physically active and able, men who then can work. And so even for the poorest of them, and for the richest of them, the price can be paid for all. Here is a gracious price, the same price for each person. And isn't that true of our salvation? As Scripture makes it clear that we have been bought with a price. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. And that price is, of course, the blood of Jesus Christ. We read at the start of our service from 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. Knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, his atoning sacrificial death, that death that covers our sin, that death that took the punishment for our sin. And it's the same price that has been paid for you as it has for me. That means that we all have equal worth in the sight of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, slave or free, rich or poor, male or female. Our worth before God is in Jesus Christ. Think of this. The price that has been paid for you, that you can be numbered into God's family, that you can have the wrath of God lifted off you, that price is exactly the same as it is for the greatest of saints, as it is for the most wonderful of preachers, as it is for the most holy of God's people. The same price has been paid for your sin as it has for every other believer. Perhaps you feel useless or of little worth, little importance. You maybe feel that you're not like your brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. You don't have their gifts and abilities. You don't show the same levels of godly discipline as they show. You struggle and you just maybe think to yourself, what am I doing here? Look at everyone else. Do you not realize that exactly the same price has been paid for your sin as it has for your brother or sister in Christ beside you? We have equal worth before God, and God has given this census tax so that the people of Israel might see that to have the price paid It is equal for everyone. God says to each and every one of his people who is numbered in, you belong to me. You are one of mine, each precious to him through Jesus Christ. There's equal worth before God. The price to be paid so that we can be numbered in. It's to escape the wrath of God because he's angry at sin. We need the price to be paid. It's to show us that there is equal worth of us in the sight of God. And the third purpose for this census tax or ransom price is to be an everyday witness for the people. An everyday witness for the people. This silver that was taken in, we're told that it was to be used in the tabernacle as a daily witness. Look at verse 16. You shall take the atonement money from the people and shall give it for the service of the tent of meeting, that it may bring the people of Israel to remembrance before the Lord. Here is a continual reminder for the people. This silver that was taken in, it was melted down, and it was used for the bases of the poles that held up the tent of the meeting. It was used on the tops of the poles around the outside of the tabernacle. So every day that God's people came to the tabernacle, they could see the ransom price. The tabernacle represented God's presence in the middle of his people. And as they came to worship, as they looked for the presence of God, what did they see? My price has been paid. I can see it there. There it is on top of the poles. There it is holding up the poles of the tent itself, the place of meeting. God's presence is amongst us because the price has been paid, and it's been paid for me. I can come into the presence of God because the price has been paid. Here is an everyday witness for the people of Israel. And it was also a remembrance before the Lord. God in the presence of his people. God saw the silver. He saw the price that had been paid. Here is a reminder to the Lord. There is no plague to be sent among them because the price has been paid. They've been numbered in. They've been counted into my family because the price has been paid. And God's presence amongst his people, it is built on this census tax. It is built on the ransom price. We have everyday witnesses. We have reminders. Every time you come to the Lord's Supper, you take the cup, you take the bread, you're remembering the price that has been paid for you. The death of Jesus Christ, ransomed through his precious blood. And it's a witness to you. But there's more than just that witness. Every time you come to worship, every time you look around this place, every time you see your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, here is the reminder. The price has been paid. Just as God has been gracious to them, just as they are here worshiping their Father in heaven through Christ, so I am here. It's an everyday witness and reminder. Every time you open up God's word at home and you read it and you sing it and you meditate on it, here is the reminder. The price has been paid for me. Not just a reminder for us, but it's a reminder for the Father. At this very moment in heaven, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in the throne room, his finished work on display. What does the Father see? The price has been paid. You're numbered in. You're counted in. Because Jesus Christ, your Savior, is in heaven. And there the full display of that work of salvation is before God the Father. And he sees And he knows the price has been paid. But how has this price been paid? I said I wanted to go to Matthew chapter 17. So very quickly turn to Matthew chapter 17. Because Jesus tells us how this price has been paid. Jesus asks Peter a question. Who is to pay the price, Peter? Do the sons of the king have to pay taxes? And Peter says, of course not. Kings don't demand taxes from their sons. The sons don't have to pay any price, any tax. They own the kingdom. They are royalty. They are majesty. Jesus was saying to Peter, Peter, I don't have to pay the price. I don't have to pay the tax. You know who I am. I am the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ does not have to pay the tax. But what does he do? Jesus identifies with the people. And he tells Peter to go and to take his fishing line and to catch a fish and open it. Open the mouth. And there in the mouth, Peter, you'll find a shekel. Go and pay the price for me, Peter. I'm going to pay the price. But Peter, I'm not just going to pay the price for myself. Peter, I'm going to pay the price for you. I'm going to cover your redemption price. I'm going to pay the cost. And so Peter goes with the whole shekel and pays the half shekel tax. Jesus identifies with his people. Jesus pays the price that is necessary. And he does it in abundance. He pays the price for Peter. Here is the innocent one, the king. And he pays the price. This is what Christ Jesus has done for us on the cross. He went to the cross to pay the price for us. And that's what Matthew chapter 17 is telling us here. That's what we're to understand from this passage. That there is a price that has to be paid so that we can be counted in, so that we can be added into God's family. And if the price isn't paid for us, then we're going to remain on the outside. But how is the price paid? It's paid through Jesus Christ, through his giving of himself. And he's paying the price for others. I wonder if when Peter was writing his letter, if he had this event in his mind when he said, you were ransomed. The price was paid for you from your futile ways. This price is paid not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And friends, this evening, I want you to know this. Be certain in your minds of this. Bring this to mind and meditate on it and give thanks for it. For you to be counted in to God's family, for you to be numbered amongst God's people, for you to have a share in the inheritance, a price has to be paid for you. Jesus Christ has paid it. Not with silver or gold, but with his precious blood. And because of that, you have equal worth in the sight of God. And you have a share in the presence of God himself. Amen. Let us stand as we pray. Lord and Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for its richness, its depth. We thank you for its glory and splendor. We thank you that this is the case because it points us to Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. And we thank you that he has paid the price for us so that there may not be any plague amongst us, so that we may not come under your wrath, your judgment for sin. We thank you that that price is his precious blood. We thank you that it's the same price for each and every one of your children. But Lord, we pray this evening for any who might be here who are still outside of your kingdom. Those, O Lord, who are still trusting in their own works, their own effort. Lord, we pray for those who are trusting in their church going, who are trusting that just because their family were saved, that they too will be counted in. O Lord, open up eyes to see your truth. Father, change hearts. O Lord, may our eyes be fixed on Christ. Might we see that the price is paid only through him, and yet he pays it in abundance for all his people. Father, work graciously, we pray, and apply your word to our hearts, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.